This is the anthem. Here's what you came for.
Welcome to the Disney Beat, a podcast brought to you by thedizinsider.com. My name is Sean Nyberg, and I will be covering all of the Disney headlines to keep you informed as you start your week. Hello there, this is Sean Nyberg, and this podcast is being recorded on the evening of Sunday, December 27th, 2020. All right, let's dive into the news. I want to start off by saying I hope everyone is enjoying the holiday season, regardless of what you celebrate. I personally had a great Christmas this past week. My fiance Paul and myself, along with my sister and her kids and both of my parents, we all did a strict 12-day lockdown prior to Christmas. We did no in-person shopping, no meeting up with friends, no traveling, no grocery shopping or anything, so that we could all be together on Christmas Eve at my parents' house. We spent the night and we woke up Christmas morning to watch the kids open Santa presents. It was so wonderful to be close to my family and not have any worries after this tough year. You know, it was nice to be able to end 2020 with ones I loved. And I hope you got, you know, if not to see your family and friends, at least be able to reach out to them, and hope everyone made, you know, smart decisions and everything. So with that, you know, just want to wish you happy holidays. And now we're going to shift gears over to Disney. Let's start by talking about the upcoming Mandalorian spinoff, The Book of Boba Fett. This will premiere next December on Disney Plus. So following the season 2 finale of The Mandalorian, there was a teaser clip that aired after the end credits. The scene ended with this revelation of a new Star Wars series coming to Disney Plus called The Book of Boba Fett. We talked about this a little bit last week. This led many to wonder if a spinoff was in the works or if this would serve as Chapter 3 of The Mandalorian. As expected, last Monday, show creator Jon Favreau appeared on Good Morning America to clarify that the new Boba Fett series and The Mandalorian Season 3 are different shows. The two series will share the same timeline, but they will be separate. The Book of Boba Fett will be released in December 2021, and The Mandalorian Season 3 will be coming out shortly afterward in early 2022. Disney Plus had some massive releases this past week. This included a sneak peek at the upcoming Peter Jackson-directed documentary, The Beatles Get Back, set for a theatrical release in August. The 5-minute sneak preview showed us intimate footage, the intimate footage that they had access to, and we could see truly how intimate it was. It was really amazing, stuff we never have seen before. It was a 5-minute little sneak preview, and you know, it came out just recently over the last week. And I spent holidays with my parents' house, and my father is a massive Beatles fan. And I grew up actually being taught to worship them, as you do, you know, whatever band or whatever your parents were into, that's what you're taught to like. So I grew up being taught to worship them. So it was fun to kind of watch a sneak preview with them, and it made me excited for the full length documentary, which is expected to come out August of 2021. The Disney Gallery released their newest entry, a 1-hour behind the scenes look at season 2 of The Mandalorian. Unlike the first season of the Disney Gallery, this was a longer 1-hour special that covered the entire second season, and it wasn't broken up into parts like season 1 was, where season 1 would talk about maybe the sound design and or music in one episode, then it would talk about casting in the next episode, then it would talk about visual effects. So this just covered everything in 1 hour, and when you watched it, it was clear to me, at least, that it was at one point likely intended to be an episodic series, as there were clear delineations between each episode. So between each episode of The Mandalorian that they covered behind the scenes. So it was just seemed to me personally very clear when, like, they were done talking about episode 1 and started talking to the director of episode 2, and they were talking about episode 2, episode 3. So, you know, really made me feel like, it may have originally been intended to be released in episodes, but they decided to release it all at once. You know, I I am a sucker for behind the scenes and making of specials, so I am usually already won over simply by the fact that the special exists, right? So I might not be the most discerning critic. I love all of these. When my whole life, you know, I loved when the DVDs became, you know, popular, and they had all the you know, the behind the scenes, or if I was really lucky, it came with a secondary DVD, and I just loved that, with full making ofs and director commentary and everything. So, but I did feel, even though I admittedly like these kind of specials more than most people, I did feel that this one, this seemed to rise above the rest. Like, it was very, very well done. The access, the camera crew for the behind the scenes special, they clearly was unrestricted. Like, they had access to everything, which is nice when you know, because clearly Disney is producing the behind the scenes and they're producing the movie. So they didn't seem like a separate camera crew or a separate production team that was filming behind the scenes, which just made it so much more enjoyable to watch. So yeah, I really felt like it was just a really good making of documentary. I mean, I don't want to say good, like a great, great. I think you could watch it even if you don't care about how shows are produced. I think you'd really just find it very enjoyable. And at 1 hour, you know, it moves pretty quick because it covers all episodes of season two. Notably, though, they did leave out any of the footage of filming the surprise of the finale. The Jedi that came back to respond to the call of Baby Yoda or Grogu. They did not have any footage of filming that, which I understand. I bet you they had a very bare bones crew for that, just to keep any of the leaks out. But they did seamlessly work in that little clip that they added to the end credits, which, you know, which announced the Book of Boba Fett. They had footage of them filming that little scene too, which is pretty cool. So I really think you'd like it. If you haven't checked it out yet, do so if you have the time. But of course, the biggest release this week for Disney Plus, and really for anything, I mean, you know, was Disney Pixar animated feature Soul. So, I mean, if you've been listening to this podcast, which I hope you have for a while, you know, I've been really looking forward to this movie coming out. Just, you know, Pixar, when Disney Pixar does anything, it's amazing, right? But you're starting to hear rumblings not very, you know, like a month or so ago, that this movie was even more special, you know, and a lot of reviewers saw it earlier in the year because of the anticipated summer release date. So, you know, there was a lot of just stuff floating around that this one was going to be even better than your standard Pixar movie. So I was really, really excited. So I will just say before I jump into my little spiel that it lived up and surpassed any of my expectations. So the movie was created by Pete Docter. He's the man who brought us Monsters, Inc., Inside Out, and Up. He is a current chief creative officer for Pixar Animation. He took that spot over after John Lasseter's unceremonious fall from grace due to complaints and allegations made during the Me Too movement. Docter is a brilliant filmmaker and has an unmatched ability to mix the whimsy of an animated film geared toward children with more mature themes like death, mental health, and things like, you know, the purpose of life. And, you know, things like your soul. The film features Pixar's first African-American protagonist, who is voiced by Jamie Foxx. The comedy comes primarily through the sidekick, 22, who is voiced by Tina Fey, who reportedly wrote much of her character's dialogue. So she wasn't listed as a screenwriter because, you know, she was brought in just to kind of, you know, to write 22's lines, which she was then going to read, you know, and she's got a history of writing her own material on Saturday Night Live, but most importantly, on 30 Rock, which is one of my favorite sitcoms, by the way. You know, and so she knows what's funny. I think she's one of the best comedy writers in the world, and she knows how to write for herself. So I really thought it was really smart to actually bring in, a comedy writer to write kind of the comic relief character, because it really worked great to give the character a distant comedic voice that was their own. So didn't sound like anyone else's. And, you know, great screenwriters can do that, but I think it just gave it more of a special feel to have the sidekick, the person who wrote a lot of their lines, to be not the person that wrote the rest of the show. So, it was just my thought. I absolutely love the film. I was blown away by it. I was getting a little worried because, all the reviews started pouring out right before Christmas. And so I had heard that, it was at 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, that everyone all over Twitter were just like freaking out about it. Christmas Day came and, we did like 5-6 hours of present opening that morning with my family. Then we went to my fiance's family that evening, and we were there till late. So I didn't watch it Christmas night. I actually watched it the day after Christmas. So I was a little worried that it was too overhyped, just because everything I was reading was great. And I can tell you it was not overly hyped. It surpassed even the expectations I had after hearing all those great things. So I just really, I just love that, you look at something like Soul from Disney Pixar, and you look at something like Trolls 2 that came out earlier this year. They're completely different films, but they're still, they are probably the top two animated features that came out this last year in terms of, wide releases, right? And they're just so different. And I understand, Trolls 2 will probably appeal more to the fun, flashy, surface level music that a lot of kids will relate to. Might even sell more in terms of merchandise and all that other stuff that these film studios want. But what I just really love about these Disney Pixar films is that they're timeless, and that, your grandpa can watch it along with your 6-year-old granddaughter. They can watch it together, and not just, grandparents will sit and watch anything with their grandkids, as long as they can just watch a movie with them, even if it's something silly and kid-like cartoons, right? But the thing with these Pixar movies is that they relate, and they're enjoyable to both young kids, adults, and really, I'm in my 30s, that 20 to 30-year-old, 40-year-old even now, age group of just people who are just in, right in the middle of their lives, trying to figure out what they're doing, trying to figure out their purpose. And especially after the year of 2020, I just think this film is really something we all needed. We all needed that moment to go, what is my purpose? What is my spark? What brings me joy? What is my passion? And where am I putting my energy? And I just really felt like I left the film crying, but I didn't feel sad. I left feeling optimistic. So, a fantastic film. I just really am really, really thinking that, this is just a sign of just great things to come. And it just really just proves that Pete Docter is an amazing talent. And I just can't wait to see what else he has in the future. So, moving away from Disney Plus, we got a bit of a surprise from the Disney Cruise Line. I know you heard that right. The Disney Cruise Line, they released a sneak peek at the upcoming Disney cruise ship called the Disney Wish. A video was released that showed a quick peek at the grand hull of this massive ship that is being built right now. You can see the video over at thedisinsider.com. I wrote an article about this. It's up and over there. It's got a link to the video. The biggest reveal was that there is a large gold statue of Cinderella that will be decorating the grand hull of this cruise ship. The Disney Wish is expected to set sail in 2022. A total of 3 new Disney cruise ships are expected to be out on the waters cruising around by 2025. So in the next 5 years, we've got 3 new cruise ships that'll be launched, giving Disney's cruise line a total of 7 ships. In the next 5 years, they'll have 7 ships in service. The four ships currently in service have been docked since last spring due to COVID-19. There is no announcement about when these ships will be sailing again, but we have heard from Disney that reservations are starting to fill at a higher than normal pace for the end of 2021 and into 2022. The demand for these experiences is high. We just need to make sure it is safe, right? Because if things are not safe, these boats aren't going to be leaving the dock anytime soon. So let's just hope for that for a lot of reasons, right? Earlier this month, we got word that the live-action film Enchanted will get a sequel called Disenchanted. We learned this last week that actor Patrick Dempsey has been confirmed to reprise his role as Robert Phillip for the Enchanted sequel, Disenchanted, that is coming to Disney Plus. We don't have an exact release date yet, but it's obviously, since we just got casting news, it's in the development phase. Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige announced that the studio will debut a Marvel-themed musical performance to ring in the new year. That's right, I said a Marvel-themed musical performance to ring in the new year. The performance will air during China's Bilibili New Year's Gala on December 31st. So while it won't be airing live on ABC, here in the United States or wherever you're listening outside of China, the performance will obviously make its way to the internet quickly, and we'll be able to get to see what a, and I quote, Marvel-themed musical performance looks like. I, for one, cannot wait. Just primarily because I want to know what a Marvel, what did I say it was? How did I word it? A Marvel-themed musical performance to ring in the new year is. So I'm a little, it's an interesting concept. So in some long overdue Disneyland Park news, Disney released their first images from the reimagined Snow White attraction at Disneyland in Anaheim. Yes, Disneyland in Anaheim. News that is not COVID-related. We've known for about a year that the ride was going to be updated and slightly altered to remove some of the scarier elements from the ride. Back in the early 1980s, Disneyland's Fantasyland got a complete overhaul, and the Snow White ride was renamed to Snow White's Scary Adventure. Prior to this, guests would complain about how scary the ride was, along with the complaint that Snow White was nowhere to be seen in the ride. The original concept that opened with Disneyland in 1955 was that the ride would put the guests in the point of view of Snow White herself. Therefore, we wouldn't see her since we were supposed to be her, right? So, but that was not really communicated to guests before they rode the ride. So a lot of them were like, okay, well, this is called Snow White and I don't see Snow White anywhere. So in the 1983 revamp, they added a single, I don't think she moves really. So I would call it a model of Snow White, not an animatronic, a model of Snow White to the beginning of the ride, to placate the guests who wanted to see Snow White in the Snow White ride. You know, who would have thought, right? And instead of softening up the scarier scenes back in 1983, the Imagineers just added the words Scary Adventures to the ride, to the title of the ride, to act as a warning for guests. So that's when they got the title Snow White Scary Adventure. Apparently, this did help a little bit. But after 37 more years of complaints, Disney finally relented and they've made some big changes to the ride. They added an entirely new end sequence that shows Snow White meeting up with her animal friends in a happier ending than the extremely abrupt ending that has been there for 65 years. You know, this has always been kind of a funny part of the ride for me and the people I go to the parks with, because it used to be where you're near the cliff and you see the dwarves going up and the witch is trying to drop the rock on them, and there's like a flash of light and it's over, right? That's it. It's like witch cackling, flash of light, a scream, which is supposed to indicate, like a lightning bolt, and then she's supposed to be falling, but you don't really see it. And I never got it. It almost seemed as if the witch won, right? And it was over in like a second. It would be like, build up, done, off the ride, step off to the left, right? And I used to always thought it was so funny to me that it was just so like abrupt. And in a way, it almost felt like it ended with the bad, you know, the evil witch winning. So they've changed that now, and they've added an entirely new scene that really kind of puts a bow on the end of the story. So we get to see, you know, Snow White happy and with her animal friends and everything. And so they also added a number of updated lighting graphics and effects, because they've got some pretty amazing technology now in the parks that they do for the rides, with the projection mapping that they can do. So they've added a bunch of those new elements. They added some new animatronics and removed some of the darker elements. So the the 83 title Snow White Scary Adventure is no longer needed because some of the darker elements have been removed and the ending has been lightened up. So the ride also got a new name, Snow White's Enchanted Wish. That's the new ride, folks, Snow White's Enchanted Wish. So just to go along with the new cruise ship coming out in 22, the Disney Wish. So right now everyone's wishing, right? So we got the Disney Wish, the new cruise line. We got the new Snow White update over at Disneyland called Snow White's Enchanted Wish. Head over to the disinsider.com to check out. I wrote a story on this one too, and you can check out the images and you can actually see a video showing some of the updated scenes. This also includes a new paint scheme for the exterior of the building. So when you're in Fantasyland, even if you don't go on the ride, you'll see that there's a new color scheme. I believe they've removed the evil witch that looks down over Fantasyland from her window. And they also have a new updated entrance. So you can see that all in the video clips and the photos I have over at disinsider.com. The Disneyland Resort remains closed due to COVID-19, and no announcement has been made regarding reopening the park. However, it appears clear that whenever the reopening occurs, the ride will be opening alongside the park, all decked out with its happy makeover. So, personally, I think it's great. I'm all about these parks growing and evolving, adding new elements as we get better, tools and graphics. Graphic capabilities, I should say. And I do think that, you know, making changes based on client feedback or customer feedback is important. That's how businesses survive, right? You know, things that worked in the 1950s, 1960s and 70s didn't work in the 80s and 90s, and things that worked then don't work now. So, you know, while I am kind of a stickler for the nostalgia, I'm not someone who's so rigid that I think these parks should never change. And I also think we have the benefit of ride-through videos to kind of document some of the older versions of these rides. So I'm all for it. I think it's great. Anything to, you know, keep the parks fresh, especially in Disneyland when they can't just keep growing and adding new stuff because they're landlocked. You know, that they don't have anywhere to grow in terms of growing out. So, you know, constantly changing within, I think, is great. So that's my opinion, and I'm sure everyone's very excited. A couple of stories regarding the Disney company came out this week. First was the finding that this is very interesting. Disney nabbed the top two spots for television advertising impressions for a streaming service. Sitting at number one was Disney Plus, and number two was Hulu. So what does this mean? Okay, so they calculate an impression as someone watching a television advertisement for more than 3 seconds. Okay, so that they consider that one impression. If someone sits, a consumer, or, you know, someone watching television sits and watches a advertisement for more than 3 seconds. over the last year, Disney Plus has had over 18.3 billion impressions, and Hulu had 15 billion impressions. These numbers are huge. I'm not going to go through the entire list. But just for some context, Disney Plus advertisements on television for Disney Plus have been seen 9 times more than advertisements for Netflix. So, you know, Netflix is the big game in town, and Disney's coming up. to compete with it, and Disney Plus has been seen advertisements for that 9 times more than Netflix. So clearly, it's clear that Disney sees TV advertisement as an important ad tool for the direct-to-consumer division. And over at the Disney's film studios, we got some more news about the company. Long-time veteran studio chairman Alan Horn will be stepping down and replaced by a different Alan Bergman. Horn and Bergman served as co-chairs for the studios, and while Horn is handing the role over to Bergman to run solely by himself, Alan Horn is not leaving and will serve as the division's chief creative officer. Both men have served in various executive leadership roles within the Disney company for decades. The company's film portfolio has never been bigger, and it seems fitting that the 54-year-old Alan Bergman will be taking over as the 77-year-old Alan Horn remains on in a creative capacity. Disney's studio division oversees film projects for, now get this, Alan Bergman now alone will be the chairman of projects for Pixar, 20th Century Studios, Marvel, Lucasfilm, so that's all the Star Wars movies, Blue Sky Studios, Searchlight Pictures, Walt Disney Animation, so that's stuff like Moana and Frozen, Disney's live action movies, and you know how big those have been recently with Aladdin and Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, and the like, and Disney's live stage shows. The heads of each of these departments, of all those studios I just mentioned, the heads of each of them will continue to report to both Alan Bergman and Alan Horn, and Alan Bergman and Alan Horn will continue to report directly with Disney CEO Bob Chapek. Many have drawn comparisons to this move with how Disney's executive leadership slowly transitioned earlier this year, with Bob Chapek being elevated to CEO, and then CEO Bob Iger remained on as executive chairman, focusing on creative content. This allowed former CEO Iger to help current CEO Chapek guide the massive Disney ship during the turbulent COVID-19 pandemic, helping to make the transition smooth and seamless. This appears to be the direction being taken with Bergman and Horn at the top of Disney Studios. This is a smart way to make these massive transitions work without interruption, and it also creates the appearance that everyone is on board and no one is being fired or demoted. This is a much more responsible and, yes, boring way to conduct business, a far cry from the turbulent 1990s when the Disney executive leadership was the subject of many gossip columns and trade reporters on a near daily basis, with then CEO Michael Eisner clashing with their board of directors. Michael Eisner clashed with the board of directors. He clashed with Walt Disney's nephew, Roy E. Disney. He clashed with then studio chief Jeffrey Katzenberg. And there's a big clash with Hollywood power broker Michael Ovitz. In a series of epic private and public battles that sold many newspapers and even more books, it appears that Eisner's replacement, Bob Iger, who took over in the early aughts, set a professional tone that has continued with current CEO Bob Chapek. Much better for the company, not as exciting for those reporting on it. So there, that's the Disney news. Finally, this week is New Year's, and I want to wish everyone a happy New Year's and hope everyone celebrates safely this year. We have a choice about the upcoming year, and while the calendars look different with a new year printed on them, the only way that 2021 will actually be different is if we collectively decide to act differently and actually act differently. Not just make a decision, but actually act. It is our job to keep ourselves and our community safe, so the future is up to us. A simple change of date won't make any difference. So if you are like me and you are hopeful for a brighter 2021, we are going to have to do something to make that happen. And I sure hope that we do. On behalf of myself and those of us here at the Disney Beat, along with the Disney Insider, we wish everyone good health and prosperity. With that, I want to thank you for listening. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen. These ratings really help the show find new listeners. I also ask that you share this podcast with friends and family who love Disney or enjoy entertainment news. All stories can be found on thedisinsider.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the handle The Diz Insider, or on Facebook by searching The Diz Insider. You can follow me, your host, Sean Nyberg, over on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sean Nyberg, all one word, Sean, S-E-A-N, Nyberg, N-Y-B-E-R-G. I also co-host the Disney podcast, Walt's Apartment. That comes out every Thursday, and the Disney Parks theme podcast at your Extra Magic Hour, which is released every other week, so check those out. Thank you again for listening, and I will see you here again next week for another edition of the Disney Beat Podcast. My name is Sean Nyberg. Have a fantastic week and a happy new year.